When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God, our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing.
Good to be switched on, not just electronically, but in the Lord as well. And praise God for his mercy and grace and the power of prayer to bring healing in a whole variety of ways. And it's been good to testify to that this morning already. We are okay with Psalm 65. That's the text before us today. Before we continue, can we just stop and pray together for Karen? And I want to see a good positive outcome to the whole thing there. And Roz, heard that you were here this morning. Good to see you and others. Let's just pause and pray, because in the reading it says about God who hears prayer. Okay? And you remember from 1 John, John says, we know that if we ask anything according to his will, this is our confidence, that we know if he hears us, we have what we've asked of him. And that's a tremendous thing, isn't it? God is a person who hears our prayer, little old us, totally vast of himself, yet he has time for these little specks of dust that we are, that are so precious to him. So let's just pause and pray. It'd be lovely just to pray, because he's the God who hears prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you are the God who hears prayer, even our prayers of little us compared with your greatness and vastness. We thank you, Lord, for Karen, and ask, please, today again together that you give a complete healing, Father, in Jesus' name. And Roz, and Martin, and Gary, and everyone among us, Lord, today who is unwell in whatever way, shape, or form, Father, we bring each other to you. I want to include Mike and Bill in that, Lord, in their continuing journey of recovery. And Father, now pray you'd help us as we just stand before you and pray for all those in our families, all those in this family, others we know, your healing upon them, but also salvation where it's needed. Father, help us and be pleased to hear us as you enable us by your Spirit. I always marvel at the power of the Scriptures to give new insight into who the Lord is. And how impoverished would be without the Bible. I think to remind you of the great reformer Calvin, said that the Bible is like wearing glasses so you can see clearly and in focus the truth of who the true God is. We can perceive his divinity and nature and power in the creation, which is astonishingly vast and amazing. But the detail of his character and personality, his promises, so much more enriching through the way he's inspired the scriptures for us. And I praise God for that. And I pray this morning that as we consider Psalm 65, it'll be something we can meditate on like a beautiful jewel as we turn it and can see different facets of the great God that God is for eternity, and to us in particular who he has called to know him and enjoy him forever. So just to give a summary of the psalm, the notice sheet has got something very good in it, a space for notes, all right, and other things as well. And the psalm, I'm going to head it with some thoughts about worship, and then three facets in particular of the qualities of God that we can consider in our worship. So verse 1, I'll give you the outline to start with. Verse 1 is that whole introduction in Psalm 65, verse 1, of praise and worship. And then the psalm, we can look at it in three sections. Verses 1 to 5, the God of grace. We worship the God of grace. We'll fill some detail in there. Five or so aspects. Then from 5 to 8, he is the God of might, all-powerful. And then from verse 9 to the end, he's the God of plenty or abundance. So even just with that outline, we can come to the Lord and worship him as the God of grace, the God of might and power, and the God of abundance. Praise God. In fact, the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, that the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. He's called the God of all grace. Isn't that tremendous? And all of us only ever exist by that determining quality within the character and person of God. He's the God of all grace. Not some grace, all grace. Now, just some things about worship to start with. Just to remind us that the first call on our lives is to worship God. Before our work and before our witness. Somebody has said we need to reach out to God in worship first before we can reach out to others in witness. And in our Western lifestyle, so often, for the best of reasons, it's work and then worship, even in our Christian ministries. We can put our ministry and work first, but it's worship first and then work and then witness. The first call of God on the life of all of us on the planet is to worship him, the true God, maker of heaven and earth. And something happens when we do that. I think C.S. Lewis said it's in the process of being worshipped that God communicates his presence to men. Something happens in worship that the presence of God infuses. Because as we focus on him, we're aligning ourselves, we're being straightened up and aligned with the full purpose of what he's made us for. To know him, to worship him, and have his abiding presence in our hearts, in our community, and by the grace of God in our land as well. So the presence of God is the hallmark of his people. As Moses said, didn't he? Unless your presence goes with us, we'll have no distinguishing feature from any other people on the face of the earth. It's in the process of being worshipped, said C.S. Lewis, that God communicates his presence to men. Now, here's a quote, too, from Sting. Do you know Sting is a pop star? Some of us might remember him, but he's been mega and still very popular. And he said this, "Getting what I had desired for so long, success, and finding it didn't equate with happiness, made me even more unhappy." What is happiness? It's not in being famous or desired by all these people. It must be somewhere else. interesting, isn't it? The ambition in many to want to be somebody, to have worth and value, and to be adulated even, he says, is not there. And St. Augustine, the great saint, early church father, said, "My soul is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Isn't that tremendous? And we're all restless until we find our rest in Jesus. And there's a song we sing about that, about finding our rest in him, abiding in Christ. Well, praise God. Let's look at verse 1 with a bit more detail. It says there, "Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion." Just to say that Zion is a place in Jerusalem, it's a hill, and it's become synonymous with the dwelling of God and the city of God's people. I think Hebrews 12:22 talks about Zion being the dwelling place of God and his people. So just to say about that, but the word "praise awaits you" has got three facets to it. It's quite interesting, but if you think about it, before we came here this morning, praise was awaiting the Almighty from us. Heaven was waiting. Praise awaits you. So as we gather, it's really fantastic to do that and chat together, but there's a sense of anticipation in heaven as praise awaits the Lord. 10 o'clock Sunday morning, Walton Baptist Church, and elsewhere throughout the world, but there's something sacred about that. And we can come expectant. It's been ordained. Praise awaits you, O Lord. And the second facet of this particular word, if you look at the bottom footnote, it says praise befits you. You're worthy of all praise. And we'll unpack some of that in a minute. He's worthy of all praise, the great maker, the great redeemer, the great lover of our souls. But the Hebrew word is a word that means, it says literally, if we translate it literally, it says praise is silent before you. Isn't that interesting? And there's a thought here where as we declare the worthiness of God, there comes a point of being still in the awesome presence of God. Let your words be few, it says in Scripture. Where words are many, sin abounds, it says in the Proverbs. But it comes to the point of silent awe and beingness in the presence of God, and that is something else. There's a place, of course, for joyous celebration. We rejoice with Perry's news. Yes, Lord. But there's a progression there of that stillness and silence. It's not an empty silence. It's a fullness within the silence of the presence of God. Moses was told to be still. The Lord will fight for you. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and be. I can quote Mike Hall, we're human beings, not human doings. To be in God's presence and to enjoy him and contemplate him. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we contemplate the Lord's glory, we're transformed because that focus, that conduit opens up through us and changes us and conforms us to his image. It's a tremendous privilege, isn't it, to worship. Praise awaits you, O God, in your city, with your people. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. We keep our promises to him, we answer to him, and there's a fulfillment in worship and serving, the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I just hope as we gather to our occasions of worship, we'll have that sense of anticipation. Praise awaits you. Walton Baptist Church. As we get up each morning, praise in our own private devotions awaits the Lord. Well, let's look at this first subject then, the God of grace. This first section is all about our relationship with God. God is a relational being. He's not just awesome power or information or intelligence. He's a relational being. It's astonishing that we see in Jesus how God himself, how the Lord wept, how he grieved, he really felt for people's situations and struggles, the inner turmoils, how he's willing to intervene and correct what has gone wrong. It's amazing, the God of all grace. It's fulfillment in knowing the Lord and serving him. Let's look at verse 2. The favor he gives, O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It says in John 12:32 that I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said that to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Jesus, it says in Revelation 22:17 at the end, whosoever will may come. Now is a day of God's favor, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 3. And Jesus said so graciously, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. O God who hears prayer, my prayer, I can come. This little speck of priceless entity, being, I can come. You hear my prayer? Yes. God so loved the world that whoever believes, whosoever. And don't we see there the grace and favor of God? First of all, there's fulfillment. Then there's the favor of God. He extends a willingness from his own part for us to come, or we can come through faith in the blood of Christ. We have that confidence of access, not by my good enoughness, but faith in the blood sacrifice of Jesus, that we can come into the presence of God because he's so awesomely bigger than us in size, in purity. You'd think, however could little us have any kind of affinity or rapport with this vast being? And yet it's true. He accommodates himself to our smallness and lavishes his grace upon us. There's fulfillment, there's favor, there's forgiveness. Verse 3 is tremendous, isn't it? It's pure gospel, that. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. That's astonishing, isn't it? And the word there, forgive, is the word for atonement. He made atonement. That sacrifice that brings us peace with God. Not because we were good enough, not because we'd earned or deserved it or merited it, but by the sheer grace of God. Doesn't Romans 5, I think verse 8, say that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us? And so God shows his love for us. I think that's fantastic, isn't it? He forgave, and it's all of our transgressions. Isaiah 53 says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, our infirmities. And in Colossians 2, it says he forgave us all our sins. Psalm 103, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. But as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And I say hallelujah. The pride, the self-righteousness, the arrogance, the independence, there's so much within that, that we know best aspect of our human nature. Things about us we don't even know ourselves. He forgave us all our sins. What a gift. What a fantastic gift. And without that sacrifice, without faith in that sacrifice, how can we ever stand before such a great God? Not by our own badges of merit, but by faith in Christ's good enoughness on our behalf. Praise God. We need to really hold on to that. The God of grace, all grace, the fulfillment there is in worship, the access to him because it's still his day of favor. Now is the time to get right with God. Now is the day of salvation. Freedom of his forgiveness. And there's more. Verse 4 says, blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. Isn't that amazing? It's going to be John again. I've done this before enough times. Isn't it amazing how God can come and he chooses, John, I want you to live with me forever. Peggy, see? Chooses, I want you to live with me forever. Your purpose in being is to live in my courts. And the court there could be of a palace, house. But that's what he's called us to do. 1 Peter 5:10 again, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Isn't that astonishing? We don't deserve that. And yet our ultimate best good is in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy. He calls us to fellowship, fulfillment, favor, forgiveness, fellowship. And then in the end of verse 4 is fullness. We're filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Praise God. That's our heritage, our destiny, our calling. All right? So the God of all grace, favor, forgiveness, fellowship, fullness. And what he calls from us is for him to be our first love. Calls us to worship. He calls us to have him as our first love. And there's a question this morning. Is the God of all grace our first love? It says in Psalm 86 about, Lord, give me an undivided heart that I may fear or revere your name. Isn't it easy with all the material stuff around us to have a divided heart, to have divided devotions? And our response to the God of all grace needs to be an abandonment of first love. And that's the question this morning. Is he your first love? Anything that isn't is an idol. Something else is your first love, it's an idol. And the heart, the human heart, is divided. And sometimes we oscillate, don't we, between one and the other, worshipping the Lord and drawn to something else. Lord, give me. He even gives that. He gives an undivided heart that we may properly worship him. And we just need to come and say, recognize, acknowledge. You know, if my heart is divided, it's too much of me or these other things, he's not my first love, he's not my priority. Let's get it right. Let's repent and put it right by the grace of God and seek that new filling of his Spirit. Well, verse 5 is good, isn't it? The God of might. He answers us with awesome deeds of righteousness. We're priests, you see. He calls us into presence to pray and bring to him all the things we need to bring and then to speak to people. We're priests. That's some privilege, isn't it? And he answers us with awesome deeds of righteousness. Don't we see this in Jesus? God becomes a man. Jesus steps in. God himself intervenes. He's already intervened in our lives, isn't he? Different ways. Times have prayed and asked him for guidance and help. Forgiveness. He's intervened. He's the God who intervenes. He answers prayer with awesome deeds of righteousness. And God is our Savior and the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. The one who made the mountains, the God of might and power. We see Jesus stilling the waters, calming the turmoil of human hearts. And again, he calls forth songs of joy where morning dawns and evening fades. It's good, isn't it? God of grace, our response, first love. God of might calls forth songs of joy. And the God of abundance fills our hearts and lives with his goodness. Verse 9, there's all sorts of things. It's wonderful. Could be a poetic picture. He could have been looking out at a harvest at the time, a harvest festival that could have been written for that, this psalm. Praise God, the harvest has come in. There's an abundance. Or it could have been written after a drought had been sorted out and it was raining again. But it's a picture of revival. How God sends refreshing when there's repentance. You know, Acts 3, doesn't Peter talk about that? That turn again to the Lord, that times of refreshing might come and we're renewed. But as a God of plenty, doesn't it say in Ephesians 1, he's lavished his grace upon us? Ephesians 3, isn't he able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or even imagine? Such is his vastness and willingness. John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life abundant to the full. And again, even at the end of the psalm, it talks about shouting for joy and singing in response to the God of grace, the God of might who intervenes, and the God of plenty. Amen? He's the one who's called us to know him. It's relationship first. And then we see his rule, the God who rules and reigns and does mighty things, and the God who refreshes to the praise of his name. Of course he wants to refresh. Of course he wants to save. But he calls us first to worship and reach out and know and receive as you meditate on these qualities of his gracefulness and power and provision. Amen.